Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. I already screwed up what I was going to say to start this. I was going to make a joke at my expense. I was going to say, that's Drew Galloway, and I'm in bad need of a haircut. But, you know, I just wanted to preface that I know that my hair looks like crap right now. It's grown a little long here, so...
I also need a haircut too, so we're on the same page.
I didn't look at you and go, man, Drew's hair looks like crap right now. Every time that I've for the last week and a half, I've had to think about this. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm trying. My last haircut was a little over a month ago, so it makes sense. But I'm pretty particular about my haircuts and everything. I get one Wednesday, but I have to make sure it's with the same person. It took a lot for me to actually switch to the person that I go and use now. Shout out to Amy, if her husband is watching this, because he probably is. It took a lot for me to do that. I had gone to the same lady for a long time since I was in the fourth grade. I would drive the 2 hours back to Hutch when I was in college to get my hair cut by the same person. And then we were about to have a kid, and my wife was like, you should probably give up driving to Hutch for all of your haircuts. It's probably time to make it a little bit easier on yourself for something like this. And I was like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then I was like, okay, fine. And I've now adjusted, and Amy's great, and it's a fun time, and I'm okay with it, but I don't want to switch again. I don't want anybody else touching my hair, because the one time I tried to let somebody do it in college, I felt like crap. I showed up to like family Thanksgiving or Christmas and was like, this is terrible, uncomfortable. 5 days later, I drove to Hutch and I had my normal lady kind of touch it up and get it fixed and make me feel at least a little less weird. So I'm very particular about that stuff. I still drive to Hutch to see my dentist. So shout out to Dr. Gillespie, also a K-State fan, also might be watching this. So I'm just giving shout outs galore today. But yes, I'm very particular about that. Fun fact about me, I've come to love going to the dentist as I've gotten older. I don't know if I shared this with you, Drew. There was a stretch before my mom retired and we had really good insurance that I was still on for dental care. I was going every 3 months to the dentist, not every six like most people do. Because I was walking out one day and the ladies at the reception, they were like, hey, you know, they give you free cleanings now, as many as you want with the insurance you got. I was like, all right, sign me up. I'm coming. Take a lot of pride in my teeth. 26 years old, zero cavities in this mouth ever. My brothers cannot say the same. My wife cannot say the same. So, you know, I'm knocking on wood that I don't have to deal with that. So I take dental health very seriously here. Let's get into the real business and stuff to also take serious. And that would be talking about the transfer portal with K-State. Because today is officially day one of portal season in college football. We knew that there was some news of guys are entering. They're doing this. They're doing that over the last couple of days. Now guys can actually go in. The contact can begin. The window will close on December 28th. What we know so far, K-State has had 9 guys enter the portal. It should be noted there will be another window in the spring, a little bit shorter, obviously. But there have been some changes to kind of make the portal season slow down a bit. You have to be entered by that 28th date. You can still commit and make your decisions after the fact. If you're wondering who is in for K-State already, or at least announced that they are going to be entering the portal, Trey Spivey at receiver, Carver Willis on the offensive line, Daryl Jones as a DB, then linebackers Alec Marenko and Cam Salas, defensive end Donovan Ryman, quarterback Taquan Roberson, tight end Justin Wolf, and DB Jordan Dunbar. And some of those guys are some expanded information that if you want the full lowdown, DY has you covered over at kstateonline.com, where you can find a lot of great information on the portal right now. But what we're going to talk about today are not necessarily the impacts of some of those guys going into the portal, but more so some of the notable targets that are already out there and should be known and thought about in this whole thing. And I think the best place to start, Drew, it's probably, I don't know if it would be number one on K-State's board, but I think to a lot of people, this would be number one, and it makes a lot of sense. And that would be KC Concepcion, the wide receiver from NC State. We know K-State is going to be wide receiver heavy in this transfer portal cycle. We've already seen it with a lot of the publicly known targets that are out there. This one makes a lot of sense, too, because K-State saw him last year. They also just signed his brother last week as a high school commit. So What are the thoughts and where the steam might be with KC Concepcion?
It would make a lot of sense if this would come together with KC Concepcion. The one thing that I would say with this is that I think K-State has a puncher's chance here, but I would not think that K-State is probably the favorite. If you're going to put a handicap on what this recruitment looks like, I think that Alabama is probably the team to beat right now. They seem to really covet KC, as a lot of teams do, but it sounds like that they are willing to go above and beyond to get Concepcion. But again, like I said, if they can get him on campus, anything can happen. And we're living in a wild world of the portal where you will see guys that you will think that they are have like a visit schedule lined up. And then 24 hours later, they have a top four where none of the teams that were on that top four are even mentioned or like were mentioned in the visit schedule. So information comes fast and furious from the portal. So probably Alabama right now, but K-State's going to have a shot.
This feels like one to me where, yeah, you've got your top dogs in college football that probably are going to have the best spot, because this is a guy that is going to be, I mean, very highly sought after. He's got a really nice skill set. So you're going to have the draw to some of the bigger programs. You're going to have a little bit more to offer there. But I think the real spot where K-State is going to have the opportunity to sell is you play that family aspect of it, and we'll see ultimately what that ends up going. But I think because K-State signed the younger brother, Nunu, you feel like you've got at least a chance to really hang around with some of the big boys until the end of this, but a little bit of an uphill battle for K-State. Another receiver that K-State is going to be in an uphill battle with, because a lot of others are jumping in on this, is Joe Williams, the Tulsa receiver. He announced early on that K-State had given an offer. And the Tulsa guys are a couple of them we're going to talk about. They're a little different because they could officially be in earlier in the process because their head coach had been fired. So there was a coaching change at Tulsa. They got in early. Joe Williams just completed his freshman season merely hours after he had won AAC Freshman of the Year. He was in the transfer portal after nearly a 600-yard season and five touchdowns. What do you know about Joe Williams currently?
Joe Williams is really, really high on K-State's board. Right now, he has visits scheduled to both Arizona schools and Colorado, but K-State will probably get a visit too. This is a recruitment that nobody really knows what a leader looks like or what he's really looking for, so nothing would shock me when it comes to Joe Williams. I will say the stats don't show how good I think that Joe Williams could be, because he can do a little bit of everything as a tall receiver. Can you really go up and get it? But again, K-State's going to have to get him on campus. And until then, you're kind of worried, because right now the reported visits are both Arizona schools and Colorado.
Yeah. And Arizona is an interesting one, but obviously they're about to send Tedrow McMillan to the NFL draft to be a first round receiver. And even though Arizona had a bad season, McMillan did not by any stretch of the imagination. So you could look at that and say, what are your goals as a receiver? Do you want to also go to the NFL and succeed, or is it just solely get me to the league? And certainly Arizona would be able to offer that. So that's one to track, because the biggest thing to take into stock with a lot of these guys that we're going to talk about, most of the guys we're specifically looking at here, they've got multiple years of eligibility remaining.
Yes.
Which makes some of these guys even more valuable. And that's why I think the next guy we're going to talk about here, Jack Tanner, an offensive lineman that also had announced that K-State had sent an offer out. And you can see some of the P4 offers that he's already racked up. I'm sure there's more at this point. The PFF didn't necessarily love Jack Tanner's performance this season as a freshman offensive lineman at Tulsa, but there's the size and some traits to at least like. So what's your perspective on Jack Tanner?
Yeah, there's a lot of size and traits to like about Jack Tanner. I mean, one being that you don't really see a true freshman offensive lineman, and I know that people on the board will roll their eyes about this and rolled their eyes before. There aren't a lot of true freshman offensive linemen starting anywhere in college football. So the fact that he started four games at Tulsa, I think is impressive and shows where he's at developmentally, and that he can be a guy that can come in and step in and might not start right away at K-State, but is at least a guy that they think would be capable of starting and getting a lot of playing time. So you look at that, and I think right now it's probably a three-team race between K-State, KU, and Houston. Or K-State, KU at Northwestern with Houston and BYU on the outside. But that's one where if I was going to tell you when to really watch towards the end of the week. I think that's where K-State will probably get a visit from him. And I believe that he will be at Northwestern starting tomorrow, maybe even Wednesday. So you look at that and you think, okay, this is one of the first guys that really you can see that K-State is scheduling a visit for. And I think that it's a big position because offensive line, I think K-State's probably going to want to take two. So if you can get one right away, yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let's move on here. Another receiver we just found out about not too long ago, today specifically, Caleb Goody from Colorado State. Look, some wanted to say that K-State tried going to the Colorado State well last year. This time they seem to officially be going down that route, and they've got a receiver right here in Caleb Goody, 2 years left to play, 20 catches, over 430 yards, 7 touchdowns in 2024. I know that it's early with Goody, but what do you know here?
It is extremely early for Goody. I said that it was ironic that it was a Colorado State guy as soon as he got offered by K-State and we saw where he was from and everything. But this is a guy that he's only been in the portal for a few hours and has probably close to 10 Power 4 offers right now. So his recruitment is really kind of just getting started in the portal. And you look at him, and he's another guy where a lot of production, not a great team, but to have 7 touchdowns on 21 catches, I'm not great at math, but that is 1/3 of your catches were touchdowns. That is pretty good. So if K-State can get him on campus again, that's a lot of these next steps are, okay, you've made the offer, you've made the initial contact, now what? And it's now, can you work to get them on campus?
Yeah, those are some Drew Butera, like 2017 numbers right there, where I felt like half of his, he didn't get to hit that much, but when he did, half of his hits were home runs. So he was delivering at least there. Let's go keep going down this route of wide receivers. Jalen Moss from Fresno State is another one that you brought up last night. In 2 years in the Valley, 103 catches, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns. And again, receiver, receiver, receiver is the theme early on in the portal for K-State. So what do you see with Jalen Moss?
Yeah, Jalen Moss is another one where he hasn't been in the portal for super long either. But was able to leave because I believe there was a coaching change at Fresno State. And he has offers from Oklahoma State, K-State, KU, Arkansas, and then Utah offered him earlier today. So, again, a guy that's getting a lot of Big 12 attention. And as a guy that we say receiver, 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 we talked a lot about how the receiver room at K-State's probably going to look a little bit different this upcoming season. So probably want a couple of those guys. And if they can get a couple and get the right ones, I think that the receiver room will probably look better on paper this year than it did, or next year than it did this year. So again, keep just working it and trying to see what positions are being valued, I think is the most intriguing aspect of this whole portal day, as we're calling it so far, because you look, receiver and corner in offensive line are the three main positions right now that if you look at any K-State coach's social media profile and look at their footprint, you see offensive linemen, corners, and receivers almost exclusively right now. And it makes sense because those are probably the three biggest holes on the 2025 roster as we sit.
Well, let's talk about some of the DBs because there's a lot of them out there and a lot of guys that are going to have some pretty big time suitors. So where do you see DB playing out right now? And is there anybody already on the radar that people should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so two guys that I'd have my eye on, neither of them have publicly posted any offers. So you really have no idea what's going on there. But if you look at the social media footprints of Hezekiah Moses from FIU and Taryn Johnson from Northwestern, there's a lot of K-State staff follows in those guys' profiles. And those two guys would make a lot of sense because they're very, very productive players. I believe that Massis was an all-conference player at FIU and Johnson was at Northwestern. So both of those guys would make sense, especially now that we see earlier today that Jacob Parrish is declaring for the NFL draft. So you see that and it's like, okay, now it makes sense that coming into the week, because those were guys that you could see the how their recruitment was starting to unfold with K-State was getting hotter before Parrish announced. Now I imagine that it's going to be more of a full court press for one or both of those guys. And both would fit the bill because K-State needs at least one starting caliber corner in the transfer portal now.
Yeah, the DB is going to be such an important spot for K-State. Obviously, corner is one that they were probably going to work on no matter what the Jacob Parrish decision was. And I even think safety to some extent. You know, you look around and Colby McAllister will be back. So you're probably thinking, okay, that might be a guy to put back there with VJ Payne. But you are losing Marquis Siegel and you're also losing Jordan Riley, who again struggled, but he started most of the season there. So safety feels like one that K-State could have an opportunity with. Now, let's branch this thing out a little bit, because there is one school in the Big 12 that could provide some pretty big dream scenarios for K-State here. Oklahoma State, if you want evidence that the sky is not falling at K-State, look, Oklahoma State is retaining their head coach, and they're still losing thousands upon thousands of players, including two really notable guys already in Kendall Daniels and DeJean Stribling. And many others beyond that, too.
Yeah, those are guys that, again, the sky might seem like it's falling because Trace Spivey left, and you have Jacob Parrish declaring for the NFL draft, and Carver Willis entered the portal as well. But it could always be worse. I pointed out earlier in the KSO chat that one of the Oklahoma State reporters posted that they only have three players on offense that started a game for them this season that return, and two of them are quarterbacks. So it could definitely always be worse. And you look at what's going on in Stillwater, they have a bunch of players leaving because they're out of eligibility or entering the portal. They're going to have two new coordinators. It hasn't been necessarily a fun end to the season for K-State, but signing day was good. And I think that they can use that momentum to really build and get stuff going on the transfer portal. Because again, I said it in our video about Jacob Parrish declaring for the NFL draft, that they still have this ability to use Parrish leaving for the draft in the portal. They can be able to look at what we did the last three seasons with Jacob Parrish. We got him from being an unknown in high school to now declaring for the NFL. Then you got Julius Brents, you got Josh Hayes, you got a bunch of these other guys. They can use that and really propel them and try and get ahead of some other schools, because there are going to be some heavy hitters on a lot of guys, but can you use that you've been a defensive back program for the entire tenure of Chris Klieman? And I think that's a big deal and something that should really be driven home so far with a lot of the DBs of the transfer portal. And then at receiver, you can laugh if you want, if you're a K-State fan, but Jace Brown has had the most yards that a K-State receiver has had since 2014. That's something that K-State can also use and be like, hey, we have Jace Brown coming back, and you can come in and have like 500 or 600 yards, maybe 700 yards too. So there are some weapons that K-State can really use, even though it feels like the sky is falling because K-State has lost three of the four games in November and kind of limped to the finish line, but still had a pretty good signing day. And now you'll get some of these transfer targets, and some of these transfer targets are big, big names.
Yeah. And they're going to have the opportunity to go out and take care of it. And we'll see where it ends up working out for him. And generally, the transfer portal has been good to K-State since Chris Klieman has been here. I know that last year, some of the key additions didn't work out necessarily the way that you would have liked for it to. Dante Cephas and Jordan Riley probably being the two poster children of the portal last year. But I do think you look at it and see, okay, overall, this has been a pretty good track record for this team. And now it's just kind of wait and see mode to what it produces this year. And we know where K-State's going to target it pretty heavy, how it's going to end up working out. And we'll follow along to see how it goes along for the Wildcats and everything else. So thinking about kind of where K-State sits with what they're losing this season or this transfer portal season, we know about the 9 guys that are already in the portal. I'm sure that number will continue to kind of creep up. Where do you categorize the biggest loss right now? And who are some of the guys that you look at and say, okay, not great to lose them, but I understand why they're looking for a different opportunity?
Biggest loss is probably Carver Willis, just because that's a guy that you thought was going to come back. And then with what he had kind of told the coaching staff before is that it sounded like he wanted to come back, and then he's entering the portal, and now you're probably looking at definitely needing to transfer offensive linemen to add some experience. But I can also understand why he would want to depart. Trace Spivey is probably the biggest, like, you would like to have him back, but kind of understand why not. But right now, it doesn't look like the transfers out have really hurt K-State a ton, to be honest. And we'll see what happens going forward. But so far, it seems like everybody that they've wanted to keep have stayed so far. And I think that's a good thing and something that is noteworthy and needs to be pointed out. And just like that, the transfer portal number out is going to rise, but that's anticipated, and not just a K-State thing, but every school needs to get down to 105 players before the start of fall camp. K-State is at like 125, 130 right now. So that number needs to keep going down, and that it needs to keep going down more so they can add players from the portal themselves. So not a huge deal so far, but you're going to see more people go into the portal than I think that come in. And that's just going to be the same everywhere, because this is the first time that schools have had to go down to that 105 number. So you're going to see a lot of cuts. And what is really interesting about that is that people have pointed out, like, why do they not keep more than 105 before the spring? And then after the spring, you cut it down further. I think that would be, personally, I think it would just be bullshit if a school did that, because you knew that you weren't going to keep some of these guys, and you essentially use them just as like tackling dummies in practice. And then we're like, yeah, we don't actually need you. We just needed warm bodies in the spring. So to get down to 105 before even like the spring window opens, I think is what a lot of schools should do, because that's better for both sides, honestly.
Yeah, it's, I think overall for the health of college football, it's probably best to go and do and make some of these changes roster wise, but for the individual players, it's not as good. And you're, maybe long-term it will be for guys that aren't even in college football right now, but it's not good for guys that are currently on rosters. And you think about all of the various like walk-ons that, you know, are in a program right now, that they're probably not going to be afforded the opportunity to be a D1 walk-on next year, or, you know, certain scholarship guys are going to be kicked around in a way they normally wouldn't. And you're going to have to make a decision in some spots, like, do we value a guy that has more years versus a guy that could maybe help us immediately with some of our depth? And that's why I think it's going to be good long-term for the health of it, is you're not going to be able to hoard as many players on a roster, but certainly at this point in time, it's unfortunate for everybody. And we'll see how these coaches and these teams kind of deal with it moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. But I think that what really is going to suck is that You're not going to see a lot of walk-ons added anymore on any roster. And then the D2 schools and JUCO schools, it's going to be just a train wreck, at least for this year, because there's going to be so many guys that are going to have to transfer way down just to get the numbers right. So we'll see. It sucks for the players more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, no about it. So we'll keep everything tracking along with the transfer portal and all the other news and notes that come with it. If you are looking for the latest information, look, we're going to do the best that we can to keep you updated right here on the KSO YouTube and podcast. But for the up-to-the-second info, you're going to want to go over to On3, find kstateonline.com, become a member if you're not, because there's going to be things that are happening well into the night, well into the morning, that we're not going to be able to be here immediately and do a video for you on, but should kind of keep you in the loop. And you can also get some insight on to when visits might be happening as well. Some of that stuff starting to trickle out. Drew doing a good job of uncovering that. So all of that is over at kstateonline.com and on three. So that is also a great place for you to track the transfer portal in general. If you're looking around and you're trying to get kind of a grasp of how this thing rocks and rolls, currently over 1,100 players have entered the transfer portal this season. And again, today is the day that it officially opened, and more guys just keep rolling in and finding their way into the portal. Some familiar faces that you're going to see in there, either guys that K-State targeted out of high school or in previous portal cycles, guys that K-State played, maybe guys that K-State wanted or have had at different points in their career. I mean, Darian Mensa is in the portal. I see T. Denson is back in the portal from Jacksonville State. So there are a lot of guys that you're going to go, oh, the K-State played against them. Oh, K-State had him on the roster at one point. Tons of guys. It's a great tool over at On3, and the portal tracker is 100% free for everybody to follow along with as well. So
yeah. I didn't even realize T. Denson was still in college. I was apparently a Jacksonville State Conference USA champ.
No. I didn't even know that they were champs. So well, good for them. I guess I did because Rich Rod's their coach now, right?
You weren't a sicko and watched the Conference USA championship game last Friday night.
Now it makes sense. Now I was getting my CUSA and my Sun Belt all out of whack and confused. But yes, you're right. That is correct. So follow along with everything portal related over at On3. And also, I just want to provide an update to everybody before we got going here. I gave Drew a positive development. One guy that's been procrastinating for a while is no longer doing so because he is taking care of his passport come tomorrow. And you should too. And the reason you need to get your passport taken care of is because right after you watch this video, you're going to cats2ireland.com because you're going to give the gift of Ireland this holiday season. Secure your tickets now through travel and hospitality packages as the Wildcats kick off the 2025 season in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland. Visit cats2ireland.com for more information. That's cats, the number two, ireland.com. So we will get out of here, be back again tomorrow. I'm sure we are going to have more transfer portal talk coming your way and everything else that goes on. And then, I mean, we'll find plenty of other things to dive into throughout the week because K-State football is now preparing for one final game this season and numerous other things to track during this now crazy time that is the off season, but not really. This is more of the on season than the actual season itself. So head over to On3 because you're probably thinking, no, 30 minutes wasn't enough on this. I want more. You can certainly get it over at kstateonline.com.